This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
That really worked that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
God, that was fun. Thank you to Gus Johnson, who just delivered 25 minutes of radio gold. Hopefully, you got to hear the entire thing. If you missed even a moment of it, go find that on the podcast page later, or at seattlesports.com, or at Apple, Google Podcast, whatever your favorite spot for that may be, because Gus was awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to hear his thoughts on, you know, some of his great calls, whether it was remembering the K-State game that he called back in the day against Xavier, or whether it was the Isaiah Thomas, which he said was his favorite call he's ever made, and for good reason. It was so phenomenal to win the Pac-12 title, just an amazing moment. And then talking about his guy, Scotty, the rapper, Ichabod, and how they work with each other to create some of the stuff they do. That was all great. But there was some serious stuff in there, too. First about J.J. McCarthy, and then about Russell Wilson. So let's address both of those. His argument for J.J. McCarthy kind of came down to this man is perfect. It's sort of what I got out of it.
So this guy on Twitter right here who made this about me and JJ.
Yeah.
That guy needs
to
reach out.
Kitten?
He needs to reach out to Gus.
If you're a smitten kitten, he's one of the apostles.
Peter? See, Peter?
I don't know which apostle. You'd know them better than me. But if you're a smitten kitten.
He's no
kitten,
Thomas. He's no doubter. Uh-uh. No. He is all in.
He is a full-on apostle. Who's the most loyal and...
They fought who was the most beloved and favored. Of course they did.
Not who's the most favored. Who cared the most? Who was the most passionate?
Peter was passionate.
Peter?
Yeah.
Passionate Peter.
He was passionate Peter.
Well, then let's go with Peter, because he was as passionate about JJ as you could get.
Holy smokes, is he smitten.
Yeah.
But what he sees is just kind of what many of us come around, and when we get our time with them, you're just like... He is egoless. Like, he genuinely cares about others. Now, he's unique. He's different. Like, he's Gus's kind of vibe. You know, Gus, as you could sense in that half hour, is an artist. Like, you hear Gus's big calls and all this stuff, and then you, like, dial it back. And he said it himself, you know, a few different times in that half hour. Knowing Joel and knowing the people that work with Gus. Gus is an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, and artists are eccentric, and they're different, and they're unique, and they view the world in, you know, very different ways than some of us, you know, blacksmiths. So he appreciates JJ's, like, because JJ is South Chicago ice hockey tough. Mm-hmm. And then he's meditative under the goalpost, like, before the game. Like, he is all of those things.
Well, and that's sort of a little of what Gus is, right?
Yes,
I mean, he's Detroit and his guy, Ichabod.
And he's New York,
but
and he's
also
LA.
He's also Howard University and Harvard. And
yes.
I mean, like, he's got a lot of different parts to him as well.
Mm-hmm. So he's,
God, that was fun.
Yeah, he's captivated. And the longer you do this, too, and I realize this, like, way back when, early in my ESPN career, they used to say, humanize, then analyze.
Yeah, I remember that.
Humanize, then analyze. And it got, of course, taken way too far. So you'd hear all these announcers always just tell these human interest stories. Like, get to the game. Like, come on. Like, don't force feed it. When it's there and it's organic, that's awesome. But, you know, I think at this stage, Gus has seen just about everything under the sun in sport and called just about everything under the sun and seen just about every kind of player. And I've been in a meeting with him, and it was like, whoa. I mean, he's just calling this coach right to his face, like, you know, like, uncomfortable. Like, he doesn't suffer fools. Like, let's just get to it. And I think he's at a place now in life where, like, hey, man, if you can drop your ego, Caitlin Clark, J.J. McCarthy, you can drop your ego, you could be something special. And that's probably where the text toy, and I know Miss Mora and Justin and Taylor and you and I all were like, oh, hold on a second about Russ. Because, you know, aside from the other things he talked about, like, Russ's biggest problem has been his ego.
Yeah, so the question that I was going to ask you, and I was just talking about it with G outside, is Russ a victim? Because that's kind of the story he set up there.
And it's what RG3 has said and so,
And it's an interesting take on Sean Payton that I think other people might hear and believe that he's making some very... strong comments, if not accusations, about Sean Payton and the way he handled Russell last year and what Sean is, you know, believes about the quarterback position. I think that will be I'd like to go back and listen to that again and hear exactly what he said rather than paraphrase it, because that was
strong,
very strongly worded. But is Russ a victim?
I don't think Russ is a victim. We saw here, right, like everything that he said about Pete Carroll, and we saw that that relationship soured to the point that Russ was the one guy that Pete was able to come back to and, like, didn't mind, you know, throwing a few shots his way because of some of the sabotage that he did behind the scenes with his own ego, right? And that to me, is where I think all of us are like, hold on a second here. Like, hey, I get some of that, and Sean is a dictator, and Sean is Bill Parcells, and Sean is brutal on guys and can be a coach hater, right? He still carries, you know, some of that history and some of that background. But I have a hard time calling Russ a victim when you wear your own jersey to the complex, right? When you do what he did that first year and even into last year where it's like, okay, I'll try to put this stuff aside, but, man, Wendy the Windy late. Like, come on, Russ. You know, like, just drop your ego. Drop your ego. And I think Pittsburgh's one place organizationally, structurally, and with a strong head coach that is long tenured like Tomlin, that has an opportunity to just call a spade a spade.
He went a little different than that, though, because he wasn't saying necessarily that that part was where he'd been lost, but that the authenticity thing was a much bigger societal issue that people are missing. And I don't know what to make of that.
Right.
It's hard for me to comment on it from my position of who I am, what I look like, how I've been raised, et cetera. So I'm certainly not going to sit here and disagree with him and say that he's wrong. But it's interesting that he essentially, again, I'm paraphrasing here, and I'll do that with some caution. He was essentially saying that because Russ doesn't fit into what some people's stereotype of a black quarterback is, or even a black person is, that he's deemed inauthentic. And he may be right about that. It's interesting to me, and probably worthy of note, that a lot of the people that said that while Russ was here in Seattle were black themselves. And so I don't know whether that's a relevant part of the story or not. I don't know what he would say to that. We only had so much time with him, and that wasn't really the focus of the whole conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't really know exactly what to make of that. I'm not saying it to refute what he was saying or to prove what he was saying.
Yeah.
Just that I think it's a relevant piece of information.
No, there's conversation there, and there's debate there in the connective tissue that he did or did not have with anybody, with coaches, with players, with, you know, offense, of defense, of anybody, right?
Yeah.
Just that connective tissue was always a challenge. Can I just do one fun thing, by the way? Because this is just kind of my little world that I live in. I want to play you Jason Benetti's cut because it is the closest thing to me in my career to what Gus did with Cold Blooded. Listen to, and I've asked Jason about this the same way. Like, it's so fun, I think. Maybe it's not to the mass audience because you're not in the broad, but it's art. It is music. There is a rhythm. There is a harmony to it. Listen to Benetti's call of my favorite call in my 17 years in a booth watching somebody perform the way that he did, similar to Gus Johnson. This was Hypnotoad in a Hurry.
And now it's a total scramble, emergency mode for the unbeaten Horned Frogs. Hypnotoad in a Hurry. Griffin Kell for the win. TCU is undefeated still.
Sonny Dykes just did.
That is a walk-off, really a runoff for the ages.
And then the runout. And
right.
I mean, and I've asked Jason, like, where did that come from? Hypnotoad, they're the Horned Frogs. Like, Hypnotoad was kind of one of their guys in the crowd. Mm-hmm. It's kind of became a theme of their season within the how did you, in that moment, if you took Syracuse students, grad students, and broadcast and said, okay, here's the clay. Go mold it. And you have the night to think about it. Here's Isaiah Thomas, right? Here you go. Some other Northwestern school. The top broadcast school, Murrow School, over there in Pullman. Here you go. You get a night to sleep on this. Go ahead and write your best script and then go deliver it. And I don't know if you could do it better than those guys did in that moment.
Well, I appreciate it, man. He was a lot of fun, but it really does make me question one decision you've made in your life.
Oh,
I've thought about this quite a bit in the last half hour, 20 minutes, whatever it's been. For all of that talk about Scotty, poor Waltier. Just left behind. Poor Jamie Waltier could be right there on the road with you, just like his childhood friend, Scotty. And instead, poor Waltier stuck up in Woodinville doing his thing without you. You just don't have the same level of loyalty that Gus Johnson does to his best friends.
need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Hey, Seahawks brought in their first free agent finally yesterday, Brock. His name is Pharaoh.
Pharaoh
Brown.
Let my people go.
That's
Pharaoh
right.
Brown.
Yes, let them go. I can't get over
three
that.
And a half million in cheese for Pharaoh Brown.
Brought with them locusts and yes. blood and boils and eventually
sores.
The slaying of the firstborn. He gets a one-year deal, $3 million guaranteed to work in that tight end room with Noah Fant. And then they weren't done. They continue to add, Brock, along the margins. Former Husky center Nick Harris signed earlier this morning to a one-year small money deal. So the Seahawks have finally brought in a couple of guys in addition to the two they retained. Now, they've lost six. Two more yesterday. Drew Lock to the Giants. DJ Dallas to Arizona. They have not gone after some of the names that maybe were considered possibilities, like Patrick Queen, who ended up in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
But all in all, they are kind of working around the margins.
They are. A couple role players. I don't think there's any, you know, shame in some of that. These guys have been backups in their career. For Pharaoh, he has been a journeyman. He's got a lot of stickers on his suitcase. Was an undrafted guy. Nick was a late-round pick to the Browns. Carved out a little role in time there on a good old line. Carved out a little role as a jumbo fullback, jumbo tight end, smart player, undersized, right? So this kind of fits in some of, well, frankly, what Ryan Grubb had the last 2 years at Washington, an undersized athletic center that can move a little bit. So just role players, both going to be fighting like mad for their time, certainly not handed any starting role or anything of that nature. Will they make that move? Do they have enough to still spend in that way? Will they wait and see what's going to happen with the Broncos and the Chargers and some of these other teams that have some real salary cap struggle still with some of their star players? More than likely, and I've said it a bunch of times today, if patience was a shortcut for the other team on the other side of the street, it appears that the Seahawks are working in the same bed.
Yeah, they do seem to be very patient, and I like it, quite frankly. I don't need them to go crazy in free agency this year. I need them to build this thing up from the ground up and really kind of get this roster right. So I don't need them to go nuts in free agency. Kind of like the way they've handled this so far.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
We've got a little potential news. I don't know what's going on exactly with this. I mentioned that there was a lineup.
JD Drew?
I mentioned that there was a lineup released earlier and that Casey Lawrence was starting.
Uh-huh.
I think Brian Wu was scheduled to start today. Shannon saying a few minutes ago on the old X platform that they will ask service about that coming up here in about 10 minutes. So hopefully no bad news related to Brian Wu, who we were discussing earlier today. We'll keep you posted as soon as anything comes out, if at all. But if he was scheduled to start, now he's not. He could be sick.
Mm-hmm.
He could have some arm soreness.
He could have an interview with Bob and Dave.
He could. I would be very surprised if that kept him from
never
making
know.
A scheduled start.
Well, you never know.
Let's hope.
Lefko's pretty demanding. You never know.
He's not that demanding. That's for sure. Maybe Bob put him in a rear naked choke. I don't know. But we'll wait and same. We'll find out and see what's going on with Brian Wu. Bryce Miller pitched yesterday and actually pitched pretty well.
I thought Bryce Miller actually had really good stuff today. The split finger, you can see it's really coming along. Threw a lot of good ones there. He just lost focus a little bit in the third inning. The two-out walks, really the only hiccup on his day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he pitched well. He said that his sinker was looking good, so all of that was sort of good news there. The other sort of negative news, unfortunately, is that Gregory Santos was shut down for a second time. Ryan Divish on with Bump and Stacy.
He was going to be question mark to be ready for opening day. It's, what, 16 days away? Like, it didn't look like he was going to be completely ready. It was probably pointing more towards the first week. Now it's probably more towards the end of April where he could be ready to go.
That's both he and Brash now. And that would be the positive end of things, really, because you're going to take your time. You're going to make sure you ramp them up appropriately. I think in both situations, you got to figure out the why. Right? This is all good news with Brash, and he's extended. He's thrown to 90 feet. We got to figure out why that inflammation occurred the first time around and make sure we know that answer so hopefully it doesn't happen the second time around. And Santos is a little different. Mm-hmm. It's a different new property. Right, we've seen already a couple guys.
Everybody else they traded for has gotten
traded for it. Both that Tommy John. That, hey man, we got to get to know this body. We got to know this guy. We got to get to know why this lat now is flaring up. So a lot to figure out here, and won't be ready anytime near opening day.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Such a frustrating night for the Kraken. I was not quite throwing things at the television mad, but certainly annoyed. You get up 4-2 in a must-have game to try to salvage your season and give yourself a chance against your rival. The Golden Knights have really had your number. And instead, you give back two goals in the third period, including a final tying goal with 16 seconds left, and then give it up in overtime. It's disappointing, man. And unfortunately, it just speaks to what this team has been really all year, which is just inconsistent. At times, they do play really well and show you that there's some nucleus, there's some core, there's some system that's been built that's good.
Yep.
And then when they play bad, my gosh, are they awful. And unfortunately, we got a little of both last night.
18 games to go, huh?
Yeah, they're probably done.
9 points away from Vegas. 18 games ago, not insurmountable, but you got to have that one last night. And it's why guys were slamming their sticks against the wall at the end when they gave up the goal and ultimately the overtime losses.
Yep.
But you know what? After 64 games, you know what you are?
Inconsistent.
And that's who you are.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yep. All right. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the broadcast.
No, not everything.
Show.
Gonzaga lost last night.
They did. Gonzaga
not everything.
Also lost.
The Huskies tip off here at noon. First round of the Pac-12 tournament. So not everything you need to know. There's always endlessly more. And if you missed any of Gus Johnson, that was 30 minutes of, that was a power interview right there.
That was amazing.
I don't know if you guys mentioned it already because I was editing during the beginning of that. But looks like Wu is not starting today.
Yeah, we were just mentioning.
Thanks for listening, Brian.
Good guy. Yeah. So I was editing something. So I was just making sure, okay? It just happened.
Literally just talking about it.
Yeah, we're just talking about it.
No, but, you know, go back.
Keep editing. Yeah, seriously.
Don't worry, Justin. Jeez. We're going to try to keep your interest next. We'll hopefully.
Why don't you go join Ichabod in the MOP.
Maybe
seriously.
I will.
Go edit that.
Well, coming up next. Maura, are we going to play my favorite game?
I'm glad you guys aren't being mean to me today. I fully support this.
Yeah. I wasn't mean to you yesterday.
There's a break.
Hold on. I had your back yesterday. You and I were on the same side on the Daryl Strawberry thing. You and I were 100% lockstep. I think that was the concern.
That was the concern.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that wasn't the support you were looking for. All right. Well, then let's play our favorite game. What's going on with? It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, people. It's time to play a fun little game before. I think, guys, there's so much going on, too, but I want to save some of it for tomorrow. We're going to keep talking through the Seahawks offseason as we dig into tomorrow. And Brock had some good thoughts earlier on the quarterback situation and what the fact that Drew Locke ended up going to New York means long term here. So we'll come back to a lot of that stuff tomorrow. We're not done talking through it. But what a fun time to play a game that we like to call What's Going On With? And yes, it's an awkward name.
I like to call it What's Going On.
Nah, it's
like
no fun.
With.
It's What's Going On what's going With. On?
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on?
With.
You ever have a Marvin Gaye phase?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say I have.
No.
No, not specifically.
Justin, Maura, any phase of your life? A little
I don't
Marvin
know if I'll call it phase, but I think he's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can respect him without necessarily it being something I listen to all the time. That makes sense. Like, I like Marvin Gaye when it's on.
Uh-huh.
I don't seek it out necessarily.
Really into Charles Bradley lately, Brock, just in case.
Have you?
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's what I'm really into right now. So yeah, if you want to listen to
that's kind of your Charles new thing Bradley. Right now?
Yeah, Charles Bradley. All right.
What's going on with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, that's boy. Awesome.
According to the New York Times.
Great.
Robert Kennedy Jr. Spitting has fire. Recently approached Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura
yes.
about serving as his running mate yes. on an independent presidential ticket. Both have welcomed the overtures.
Wow.
Robert F. Kennedy has recently approached Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, Jets quarterback, mm-hmm. and Jesse the Body Ventura about serving as his running mate on an independent presidential ticket, and both have welcomed the overtures, according to the New York Times. Jesse Ventura elected Minnesota governor when I was a senior in high school, and all my idiot 18-year-old friends were like, yeah, Jesse the Body, this is funny, let's vote for him. And he won.
Wrestler.
So don't laugh. Don't laugh at the idea of Aaron Rodgers as vice president. This is one of those Costanza driving to the Poconos moments where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm really going to go be vice president. Anything can happen, Andrew.
I mean,
back to you, frenzy. Let's go.
As long as he's not Surgeon General, I can't wait for the off season topic bar.
Very nice.
Talking about not touching that one was
can Aaron Rodgers run for VP and lead the Jets to the playoffs? That's coming up next.
What did Mike Greenberg say? That an Aaron Rodgers has spent 6 days a week as the VP and 1 day a week as the quarterback would still be the best quarterback the Jets had had in 20 years?
Probably.
It's not nice.
Wow.
So what's going on with Aaron Rodgers?
What is going on?
Yeah.
He's got some guts to him. He's diverse.
He's something.
He's diverse.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's diversity.
Just a lot of layers to the onion.
A lot of layers to that onion. Not afraid to speak his mind.
Not afraid to put it out there that he'd be interested in people talking about him in this story for a little while. Yeah. Oh, wait, you guys would like to talk about me? Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
But he made it very clear on the McAfee show that the Jets need to eliminate all off-field distractions.
Yeah, except for this one. Mm-hmm. Except for him running for VP with Robert Kennedy.
Complicated.
Oh, my gosh.
Complicated.
Can you imagine? I did see our friends at the Undisputed, or what's the show before it's called? Unsportsmanlike, excuse me. They do, Evan Cohen did, name a better athlete-wrestler combo for running mates.
Oof.
The best one I saw was Bubby Brister and Scotty Too Hottie.
Athlete and wrestler.
I thought you could have done with two Scots, though. Could have been like Scott Mitchell and Scotty Too Hottie,
sure.
Scott Sequels and Scotty Too Hottie. Like, there were some other options, I thought, there.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's see.
What is going on with
Josh Allen? He was criticized earlier this month for exiting a car in Paris.
Uh-huh.
Did you know this?
I saw the headline.
It's a very weird headline.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, he just like ran into the restaurant, didn't even help his girlfriend get out of the car. All the paparazzi were taking pictures and people were wondering why he wasn't more chivalrous.
Yeah, so he just ran out on her and he explained that my pants ripped at dinner and I didn't want cheeks out. I love Paris. He says. His teammate, Deion Dawkins, joined up in Adams yesterday. This was his theory.
I think it's more so, right? I think it's more so Josh is in like a new realm of clothing, right? I think he has this new girl, and his new girl is opening his horizon type of clothing that he's not used to.
Yeah.
So Josh like might be the Lululemon guy or one of those stretchy pants guys where he, like every day it's a stretchy and now he's getting in some clean cut stitch stuff. And now when you stitch a little bit, you're going to pop through that jaw. You know?
Good point. He is, of course, dating Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah. She's an actress and a singer, so he was there for Paris Fashion Week. So he was dressing probably fancier.
Mm. You ever see True Grit?
No.
She's freaking awesome in it.
Is she?
She is unbelievable in it. True Grit, it's the remake of True Grit with Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
It's so good, and she's phenomenal in it. Yeah.
Cheeky.
I'm going to buy it.
Maybe Mr. Cheeks.
I like how Brock's like, this is buy or sell now.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that.
Oh, you are.
This isn't buy or sell. Changing my answer.
This isn't buy and sell?
No, this is what's going on.
Oh, what's going on?
I thought we'd made that very clear.
Interesting. You ever ripped a pair of pants?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Yes.
I have to.
Many times.
Maura, you have too?
Oh, yeah. When that goes on you too, it's super
embarrassing. In high school, Abercrombie used to like purposely make these distress jeans that apparently like I didn't realize until it happened to me. My friends were like, "Oh yeah, those rip pretty easy, but you just bring them back and they give you a new pair."
Oh, that's new nice. Ripped jeans.
Huh, interesting.
But that doesn't really help you in the moment when you're walking around crotchless.
I actually had to do what he did the rest of that day, and I had to tie a sweatshirt around my waist to like.
Yep. Justin,
get home.
You never ripped no Wranglers.
Sure didn't.
No, you didn't.
Nope.
No, those Levi's and Wranglers, they don't rip.
Never. No.
Carhartts.
Dirty.
Nope. They don't rip. Don't rip.
What is going on with the Dallas Cowboys? Last month at the Senior Bowl, Jerry Jones said they would be aggressive this offseason, Brock. Mm-hmm. Here's what he said.
I would anticipate, with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we'll be all in.
We'll be all in. Noted Cowboys fan Skip Bayless, though, not happy with the team's efforts so far, posted a very short, to-the-point message saying, all in, my...
Well,
took us.
Yes. And as Rich Eisen said, thankful for where that comma was in that tweet.
Yes. Well, that comma was getting a lot of love.
All in comma. Took us.
Yes. Yeah, the Cowboys, have they spent? Yeah, there were five teams. Seahawks are one of them until we brought Farrell in.
Mm.
So we are no longer one of those five that had not brought an outside free agent in. I don't know, man. After honestly seeing DJ Dallas get $6 million guaranteed, seeing... Damian Lewis get $30 million guaranteed. I think some of this free agent frenzy is just cuckoo.
Yeah.
For Cocoa Puffs.
Too cuckoo for you?
Yes, too cuckoo for me.
That Skip Bayless tweet, all in, comma, my focus, as you said, it is up to 63 million views.
63 million.
19,000 quote tweets about the comma. It's just got and a how couple, important it was.
A couple to go to catch Stacey and her raccoon tweets.
How many? 63 million?
Yes.
How about Aroldis Chapman's
tweet? No, stop it.
Go away.
No,
I don't know what's going on with that, but we are not talking about it.
What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a non-starter right there, Brock.
Nope.
What is going on with...
Aroldis Chapman. No, I'm sorry. Just kidding. We're not going to do that.
What is going on with...
New York running backs. What is happening in New York with their running backs, or really, I should say, at this point, ex-running backs? Tiki Barber is going off on Saquon Barkley signing with the Eagles. Here's a little of... go ahead. Let's hear what Tiki had to say.
And Saquon has already taken to Twitter himself to say thank you to everyone who's shown me love and support over the past 6 years. Forever grateful. Excited for the next chapter. Blue heart emoji. Peace.
Okay, right. Blue heart emoji.
He's dead to us now.
Yeah, say it.
He's dead to us.
Because he won't say it.
You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me.
Wow.
And, Saquon replied, and so they talked through that on the Tiki and Evan show, too.
LOL, yep, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea.
Because you retired? Because
I got tired of getting beat up and I left the game. And they, by the way, won a Super Bowl after that? What are you talking about? I've been retired for 17 years, 18 years. I am now in the media. The fact that my emotional reaction responding to you going to the Philadelphia Eagles, which is, by the way, the voice of a lot of Giants fans. I'd say the majority of Giants fans. And you're going to come back and talk about something from 17 years ago that you don't even understand or misrepresenting? That's fine. Be that way then. I like Saquon Barkley. By the way, saying dead to me was basically tongue in cheek, but it is what it is. Get offended.
You're dead to me!
I mean, when you hear it rather than read it, it does sound like he's kind of joking. I got to be honest. I'm not like going to sit here and jump on Tiki's grenade with a smile on his face. Right. Oh, you're dead to me. He wasn't
angry about it. He got more serious when he responded to Saquon's.
Well, yes, absolutely. But in the first one that Saquon got upset about, that didn't sound so serious. I think Saquon could have just let that go, not said anything, and maybe everything would have not happened. Like, come on. Yeah. No one too serious.
Yeah. I'm buying. You're dead to me.
You can't buy.
Oh, you're dead to me!
It's not that kind of a thing. It's not buy or sell.
I'm buying that story.
It's not buy or sell. It's
what is going on with...
That's right. So,
are any of the Seahawks players that went elsewhere dead to you?
DJ Dallas, dead to me. Always will be forever. No. Are any of them dead to me? No. Why would they be?
Mm-mm. Kobe Parkinson for... Add another year on his deal.
Taking a ton more money.
Billy Bozeman.
Don't ever mention the name Colby Parkinson to me again.
Isn't Billy Bozeman perfect for Jim Harbaugh? Like, if Jim Harbaugh were going to pick a free agent tied, like, it's Will Disley.
Is it?
Yes. Dude, look, I mean, they look similar age, similar style. Both
wear
their Levi's.
Why isn't he the tight end they wanted here?
Huh?
Why didn't they want him here at that price?
I don't know. Maybe just a little more beat up.
They knew his medicals.
They know a little more. That's the thing about free agency. Mm-hmm. You always know a little bit more about your own. The owner knows.
You think that's why Jordan Brooks isn't here?
Car. I think so.
Me too. That's what I said this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. A little Four Non-Blondes to finish it off. Good. Thank you. That's what's going on.
What was going on with Gus for a half hour? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. You can hear it tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Maura, I think, was the most entertained of all of us. Like, she
I don't even know if I was entertained. I was...
And she's
done.
And bless her heart, you're making cuts now, and those cuts have just got to be.
Because going back and trying to pull cuts, I was like, wow, he really like got biblical talking about J.J. McCarthy, like divine something.
He basically referred to him as our Lord and Savior. Yeah. It was a very intense conversation.
Which, by the way, let me say, was even a bit much for me.
Really?
If I'm a smitten kitten, like it was a
you're
little.
A smitten kitten and very, very prone to that
what
line
did he
of thinking.
Refer to Seattle as? Baby girl?
Baby girl. I'm a baby girl. That was amazing. He referred to our city as baby girl and said he couldn't wait to get back to us. How awesome was that? Has anybody ever called you baby girl before?
He has a picture of Seattle above his bed?
Justin, has anybody ever called you baby girl?
No, and I feel really upset about it.
Brock, have you ever called baby girl before?
Mm.
You have.
Ross been called a lot of things.
You've been called baby girl?
No.
Okay, well, neither have I. And quite frankly, I'd like to be called baby girl more often.
I think I got called baby girl quite often when I was bartending.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great in that context. Yeah, maybe not in that context.
We got
but
a good
by Gus? Yeah, it was pretty great.
A good submission for athlete and wrestler combo. Jake Plummer and Jake the Snake.
That is a good one. Yes, a Jake combo.
The Jakes.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely play at UW with all the Jakes.
Tell me. Now, if Calabro wants the job.
Not Jake Heaps and Jake.
If Calabro, who, by the way, was Gus's mentor, I mean, the love that he showered on KC as well. If KC wants to be the voice of the Sonics when they come back in a couple years, when they do expand and they will come back and they will be the Seattle Supersonics, if KC wants to do that, he's going to have first rights. But if he's like, I'm good, man, tell me that Gus Johnson would not be the guy.
I mean, KC's going to do that.
You think he still wants to do it?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I think that it is lock it down, write it in stone.
Book it.
Like the end of the Ten Commandments, Brock, since we've been talking about pharaohs all day long.
Buy it.
That's a buy that is written in cement, in stone.
Bet the house, bet the mortgage, your job, your wife, your kids, bet your husband.
Oh, Ray Lewis and Ray Mysterio. Ray Lewis is not a quarterback. That doesn't work, unfortunately.
Oh, it's got to be a quarterback?
It's got to be a quarterback.
It's an athlete.
No, it's got to be a quarterback. Yeah, it's got to be a quarterback and a wrestler that you think would make a great running ticket.
Billy Joe Hulbert in Hillbilly Jim.
That's
boom,
a good one.
Nailed it. Rank it now.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
Jared Lorenzen and Rikishi.
R.I.P.
Wow.
R.I.P.
I like that.
It's a powerhouse tandem.
I like that. I was trying to get somebody with Jay Cutler.
With Jay Cutler?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that would pair really well, just smoking cigarettes. The
ravishing
campaign
Rick,
trail.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
Ooh,
I like Ravishing Rick Rude. Give you a rude awakening.
More. Ray Lewis and Ray Mysterio, though, you said that. Yeah, Brett Favre. I don't know. There's not any good ones left in here yet.
All right, you guys are ranking today. What do you got?
I'm involved in ranking today.
Yes, Mara's doing some ranking today.
What?
Yes, I had nothing to do with today.
Really?
Yep.
And it's fitting when you hear what it is.
Okay.
We are ranking the top five times just since this show's been back together.
Oh, wow.
That we could find of times that guests have roasted you.
Oh.
So.
Guests being mean to us.
Guests being mean to you.
But just in the last year and a half, 2 years?
Well, you bringing up Joel Klatt to Gus Johnson reminded us, and that was great, too. He said he's going to punch Joel Klatt in the mouth.
I know.
Great job, Salk.
Joel's going to be so mad at me.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think Joel Klatt hates me?
I told you not to mention Scotty. In an 8:52 with an 8:54:30 break, I'm like, oh, you son of a gun.
Had to.
You little
and
turkey.
Gus under the
cover of
Gus
darkness.
Gus was so excited to talk about Scotty.
And then we got to learn all about Ichabod.
Right? That was pretty great.
So as always, there are some honorable mentions.
Yeah. We do have some honorable mentions. This one's very, very quick, but it's one of my favorites. When Kelnick gave Salk the courtesy laugh.
Hey, Brock wasn't around for that. That's not fair. That's
cheating.
Okay,
you're right. I'm sorry. That's why it's
cheating.
An honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Let me hear that one again. Let me hear that.
Pretty
That's cheating. That doesn't count.
Next up, we have Brock's partner. Oh. This is another honorable mention. His radio partner, Benetti, doing an impression of him.
Look, it's team building. Honestly, like, this is going to make it better. Okay. We're gonna have a great time. Okay. And then we're going to do a phenomenal game. Okay.
I think that was about our crab fishing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's about our crab
pretty
fishing.
Pretty spot on.
Expedition.
Okay.
Wow. That's just an honorable mention?
Yeah.
This must be a pretty intense list.
The rest of the honorable mentions are for Brock, too. I don't know if this is a guess, but Doo-Wop Dave informing us why he only calls when Brock's not here.
Doo-Wop Dave?
It's been so long. I kind of feel like maybe he doesn't like Brock. He only called in when it was the Mike Salk
show. Is that what's going on? You have a Brock problem, Dave?
I didn't bring that up, but no, I don't like the guy. But
you don't like Brock? You're like the only one in America.
No,
how do you not like Brock?
His voice puts me to sleep, for God's sake.
Well, that's sad. We miss you on Fridays, and usually Brock's here. Jeez. How did that not get into the top five?
Stack top five. It's been a tough year for you guys.
All right, we have one last one. We brought this up with Brock off air day. This is pretty classic when Booger McFarland joined us last.
It was mean. Well, last time you were on, Booger, you were kind of mean to me, if I remember right. I don't know if you remember that, but.
I don't.
Incredible.
It's like it really didn't register on in my scale of importance. No.
I don't.
Booger.
Sounds right, though.
You like Teddy Bridgewater and Ted DiBiase?
Ooh, that's a good deep cut.
You like Andre the Giant and Andre Ware?
Even when someone else is doing ranked, you just power through and do what you want.
You like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and
Stop
Jim Harbaugh?
It. I'm turning off your mic.
All right.
Actually, that one's pretty good.
Hey-o. All right, you ready for the top five?
All righty, Maura, you're killing it. Here we go.
Number five. This was when Brock asked Pete Carroll for some honest critique. An honest critique of
let's
his
get to four.
Broadcasting
let's get to
skills.
Four. You don't have to tell us everything that you can think of.
The laugh.
I love the laugh.
Oh, the evil laugh out.
Dude, Pete roasted you.
Dragged.
You got dragged.
And then
by
he said, "Oh, I'm just getting started."
Yeah,
Do you want more?
He's like, "It is Tell the Truth Monday."
I legitimately had a friend that was really mad about that.
What?
Like, just take it.
Was
it's
it Molly?
Really like, no. He was like, "I that really ticked me." I'm like, "It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's okay. It's good. It's just good."
He was having
criticism.
Fun with you.
Calm it down, Curran.
Good feedback. It's good.
I like that one.
It wasn't Curran. Good guess. And it wasn't Maltier. Number four. Here we go.
Number four. It's our friend Joel Klatt talking to Salk about his level of expertise in judging J.J. McCarthy.
Meanwhile, Salk didn't even watch the Ohio State game, and he's blabbering on about J.J. doesn't make throws?
Think about what Joel's going to say to me the next time. Now that I got guts to want to punch him in the
you
face.
You better watch out.
Yeah.
You brought up Scotty?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That was a mistake.
I'm going to punch Joel Klatt in the mouth, he said.
What if Ichabod starts trending?
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Ichabod and the MOP.
I hope it makes MOP come back. Annie up.
You haven't looked him up yet?
Annie up.
What's up? Was Gus on that? Was Gus part of the MOP?
Huh?
Was Gus part of the MOP?
I thought he said we dropped some hot stuff.
Yeah.
We have to do some research on that.
Show research tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Number three is a guest that does this often, so we have a couple of cuts from him.
This has got to be Passan.
Yes, it is Jeff Passan.
Mike, I will fill in the hole in your chin.
That's mean.
That was from the Salk Show, but then we had this
That's
past
personal. That was very
radio
personal.
Host in 101 right there.
Wow.
Mike Salk got a D-.
Oh, jeez. Why do we keep paying him to come on the show?
When does he start coming on?
Hopefully never.
2 weeks?
Mean-spirited.
Start of the season.
I remember making an intro for him that I thought we were going to play. It was, like, kind of mean, so we never did it.
Really?
But it was him, like, remember he set himself up for a joke against you guys? Here, I'll just play for you.
I opened the nerd door, and the pro quarterback didn't walk in. Pretty sure Citi Field plays way to the pitchers. Ooh, tough time signing hitters for them.
Mike, I will fill in the hole in your chin.
There's a bunch in there.
It's nice.
There's a lot more going on.
It's good.
Because he just loved playing, was it one of our video game that was?
Yeah, he was telling us all about it. I don't remember what it was.
Something Kong.
Some nerd
I'm sure he
game.
Got to play a lot of it after he injured his back.
Number three, Maura, you're crushing it. Number three.
That was number three.
Oh, number two.
I think you're going to be surprised that this came in at number two.
All right.
But
sneaky mean?
Uh-oh.
I'll just go ahead and...
Well, first off, I remember when I exited here, and I remember some words from you that were a lot different than I had heard when I was here. So, you know what I mean? It's a little different. I'm going to answer the questions from Brock and KJ, but we're going to excuse you out of this.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
That's just not true. I mean, like, the words you heard from me were actually pretty similar to what you had heard while you were here. You just maybe didn't hear them.
Yeah, because I don't listen to your show. But again,
that's fine. I'm not asking you to listen, but the words didn't change. I didn't say anything different when you left from when you were here.
You're excused from the interview.
How is that not number one?
Wow. Wait till you'll find out why.
How uncomfortable was that?
Well, not uncomfortable at all.
Oh, right.
In the moment, it
KJ
definitely was.
KJ said in this scene.
Oh, KJ was very uncomfortable for him.
Huh. Poor KJ. He looked mortified.
I felt it coming.
Yep.
We exchanged a look when it happened. Like, oh, how did we not?
Felt it coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready for number
one? That wasn't number one.
No, who was meaner than that?
This was a ranked guest.
Oh, yes.
Dad, you smell bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, Cecily gets.
Cecily Salk.
Cecily just slightly meaner than Richard Sherman.
Oh, she loves unplugging.
Who hates Mike more, his daughter or Richard Sherman?
Oh, she just loves unplugging all your stuff, too.
She does. No, that's Heather. There we go, MOP. Oh! Have you seen the Instagram reel on this or TikTok video with the dad who's like beating the heck out of the kid next to him?
No.
While he's listening to that song, he's like shaking him and it's exciting. He's not like being mean to him. It's so funny.
No.
All right. Well, great, great rank today. Thank you, Maura.
Way to go, Maura.
And Justin.
And Justin.
Well done, both of you. All right.
Well done
to
you guys. You're the ones that made it. You set it up.
Is it
your mom and dad coming in for rank Friday, huh?
I don't know about it. Coming for ranked or what? I don't know.
I hope they're as mean to you as Cecily was to me.
They're pretty busy, Brock. I don't know.
Dad, you smell bad.
I think he said his mom would tell us all his secrets.
Yep.
My dad wasn't even that mean to me, so hopefully your dad will be. All right. Oh, I had a great story about my dad. Darn it. I'll have to tell tomorrow. All right, we're going to run. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Stick around for Bump and Stacey next. Until then, the hay
barn.
See everybody. Get to the chopper!